The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright. The power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. And I am so glad that you could be with me tonight because we are talking about the art of powering up your speech in order to change your life. My special guest tonight is the beautiful Risha Baker, author of the book Power Talk, and also a Law of Attraction expert with her brand new show on Law of Attraction Radio Network called Power Talk. Now, we often talk about the power of your thoughts here on the show and power of your emotions. And we often forget about the power of our words, that we not only communicate with those we meet, but to ourselves as well. So, as usual, just sit back, relax, kick up your feet, unless you're driving, of course, and tune yourself into hearing our words tonight. I'm sure you are going to have some aha moments right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. We'll be right back after these words.
I'm Sue Elliott, editor-in-chief of Law of Attraction magazine. The winter edition of the magazine is now on newsstands. It's filled with tools you can use to attract epic love, release stress, install the millionaire mindset, and manifest all your desires. Law of Attraction magazine is also available in digital form at lawofattractionmag.com. Purchase your copy today. That's lawofattractionmag.com.
Law of Attraction magazine is not associated with Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Need help realizing your dreams? As a hypnotherapist specializing in the Law of Attraction, Jules Johnson can help you to break through your critical mind into your manifested dream. Get started today by going to lawofattractiontools.com. Set up a personal Skype video or phone session. Law of Attraction Tools is there to help you turn your desires into reality. That's lawofattractiontools.com.
This is G.P. Walsh, meditation expert and host of Law of Attraction 2.0, right here on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I've tried numerous brainwave technology products, and none of them worked on me. That is, until I tried the Soundscape Meditations from Codimensions.com. The effect was immediate, and my meditation deepened. Get the Soundscape Meditations from Codimensions.com and put them on your iPod. Believe me, if they work on me, they'll work on anyone.
Welcome back to Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Now, even though a majority of you are driving or not at your computer, I want to remind you to go and get my new app called Triple Power Money Activation on iTunes and Google Play. I just got an email from a listener who purchased this, and I have to read it to you. It says, quote, "Okay, I was desperate and I was a skeptic, but I had to admit I was stuck in the worry about paying the rent and even getting enough food on the table for my kids. I've been listening to your show long enough to realize that I was the one who was blocking a better way of life. So I gave in and bought the Triple Powered Money Activation app. I played it over and over again, and each time I started feeling a little more hopeful. And then I became actually happy. And then I started feeling powerful. Well, it must have been a good week of listening, but each time I just kept on feeling better and better. The fear left. Well, I went to my mailbox, previously an activity that I absolutely dreaded, and found a surprise letter from my brother who sent me a check with the words, quote, "because I care," unquote. Well, that surprise check was large enough for me to pay my bills, and I knew at that moment that I had totally changed from complete desperation to complete happiness. It's totally amazing, and I'm no longer a skeptic. I listened to that app, every single night as I sleep. Thanks, Jules. Karen from Wisconsin. Well, Karen, I'm so glad you were happy with it. I knew when I put this out that it worked because I used myself as a test. And so many things have happened to me personally because of it. With the energy of Eric Altman, the high-frequency music that goes directly into the soft tissues of the brain, along with the hypnosis, well, it just can't fail. It works. It completely removes you from the feelings of lack and desperation into a place where you become the master creator. So, my dear friends, what are you waiting for? Get the app today, and you will be so thrilled by the results. And by the way, this makes a great gift for the holidays, too. Now, let's talk to Risha Baker of Power Talk Radio. This lady is just so wonderful, and I'm going to let her tell her story to you because it's powerful and it's one that you can identify with. Welcome, Risha, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am, one, thrilled to have you with me today, but two, I'm thrilled to have you on the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much, Jules. I'm really, really excited to be here, too, and thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it. This is going to be fun for the next hour.
It is. It's going to be so much fun. Now, I really want to introduce you to all of my wonderful listeners, and you have authored a book called Power Talk. And
yes,
basically, you are talking about the power of the words. So the question I have for you right off the bat is, what drew you to the understanding of the power of the spoken word?
Well, what drew me to it is that I've always had a fascination with words. And I've always known that there was power in words and that words created things and that you were able to transform your life by choosing positive words. And, I mean, this goes back to when I was a child, and I remember always talking to myself in a way, in a good kind of way, not the crazy kind of way, in the way that I discovered, and just instinctively, to be honest with you, I can't put a finger on where this, what prompted me to do this, but I would go and stand in front of the mirror and I would say positive things to myself, almost like having a conversation with myself. And I would tell myself the kinds of things that I wanted to happen in my life, where I wanted to happen in the next month. And the next thing I knew, those things started to manifest. And I really couldn't figure out why or how this was happening. And for a long time, as a child, I thought I had superpowers. But as I grew older, I started to realize that there was a very direct link that needed to be explored, and it needed to be isolated. The conversation of talking and the effect that positive words have on our mind and our way of thinking was very powerful, and it was very real, and there was something about talking in a positive way that was directly linked to the way that I would think about things. And the next thing you know, my life started to transform in a sense that I was manifesting the things that I would talk about.
Wonderful. So you mentioned the mirror. You would look into the mirror. Would you look into the eyes, your eyes, and you would say it to yourself? And did you notice the kinds of feelings that you would have?
Yes. You know, and that's a really great question because it had a lot to do with my emotions as well. Because the words that I said to myself, I did look myself in the eye. And when I looked at myself in that mirror, it was like looking at my best friend, the only person in the world that I had the strongest bond with. And I had, when I did that, and I did that often, it was just a great sense of comfort for me because it helped remind me that I was something that was powerful and loving and that I had this strong connection within myself. And I felt that connection, but what made it, what amplified that feeling was when I would look at myself in the mirror. And when I said things that I wanted, it did trigger emotions within me. So I would feel very positive about the things that I was talking about. And I felt it. And as I grew older, I realized and I learned more about the law of attraction and all of that. I started to realize, aha, there is a direct connection that I could never have explained before when I was younger. But I realized that when I said those positive things, and these were things that I was saying to myself that was non-existent. It was not happening in my life, okay? When I was younger, I had a really, really, really bad lisp. I sound like Sylvester the cat. And my mom couldn't afford to take me to a speech therapist. And, you know, the kids in school, they'd make fun of me and things like this. So I said to myself one day in the mirror, I said, I am going to change the way that I speak. My tongue is going to stay in my mouth. It's not going to stick out, and I'm not going to sound like and look like Sylvester the cat. So as I was saying this to myself in the mirror, an idea came to me. It said, practice Sally sells seashells by the seashore, and say that to yourself every day before you go to bed, and when you wake up in the morning, say it to yourself at least 5 times. I did that maybe for about a month, maybe less than a month. The next thing I knew, my lisp had disappeared. I was no longer speaking and saying things that began with a C or an S, and my tongue would stick out. I was speaking like the normal, like the kids in my classroom. It was magical, and I couldn't believe it. But it happened. Sally sells seashells by the seashore, and my tongue stayed in my mouth. So for me, I knew that there was something very significant about telling myself something that didn't exist. Somehow in my mind, it triggered emotions within my spirit, in my body, in my soul, in my heart. And those vibrations manifested. You know, it was in alignment with the universe, and it manifested, and these things actually started happening. You know, I remember talking to people, my friends, and just, you know, about life or what do you want to do when you grow up or where do you want to be? And I would always say, you know, I'm going to have a big, beautiful house, or I'm going to have a certain kind of car, or I'm going to make a certain amount of money, or if I'm going to have the man of my dreams and I'm going to be happy. I was saying all of these things. And I remember people saying to me like, wow, I can't even imagine having a life like that. That's really big, Risha. That's really big. But the thing is, I knew that if I kept saying that, I knew that there was magic in the words that I speak, because it does something to my mind, and that thing that it does to my mind does something to my vibrations and my energy, and something about those vibrations creates. So
yeah, it's the energy field. You're imprinting the energy field with what your emotions. I mean, emotions are actually denser than the spoken words. So when you're feeling it and saying it to yourself, but it's really interesting that you use the mirror. And Louise Hay always talked about doing mirror work, and especially with forgiveness and looking into the mirror and looking into the eyes. And what you just stated was identical, and you knew it intuitively. You picked it up as a little girl. And extremely lucky in that you knew that your reflection was truly your best friend. How beautiful is that?
Yes. Yes, it really was. And I guess I was really lucky to pick that up and you know, intuitively. No one told me to do this, but it was just one day I looked at myself in the mirror, and, you know, I would have these conversations with God, and I remember having these conversations with God, and I would talk to God like he was one of my friends, like, you know, he, she, whatever, you know, you call God, it's unexplainable, but I would talk like it was just a friend of mine. You know, it was no particular readings from the Bible or anything like that. And I remember picking myself up and going into the bathroom and looking at myself in the mirror while I had a conversation with God. And the next thing you know, it kind of like I was looking at myself and I was talking to God, and then it kind of transformed into this, I had like an epiphany, like an aha moment where I was like, wait a minute, why does this feel so right? Why does this feel so real? Why does it feel so good to look at myself in the mirror and say these things? And when I did that, I felt so comfortable in my own skin. I felt like I just really felt connected to me as if I was outside of myself, if that makes any sense.
Yes, 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 it does in a whole bunch of ways, because one, you were talking to God as a friend. There was no fear involved, as many people are very fearful of what God is and what God can do to them. But you took it upon yourself to have God as a friend. So when you looked into that mirror, the reflection of God really was shining back to you, because you are the true essence of that energy of all that is. So that is, again, I mean, major intuitiveness for a child. I mean, I really got to applaud you. That is absolutely brilliant. And at the time, you didn't understand what you were doing, but it was just flowing to you.
And it felt right.
Yeah. So when you looked into that mirror and you were talking to God, it was kind of like, were you feeling this awesome, incredible love coming right back at you?
Absolutely. I felt like there was something in the room with me. I felt like I felt a presence that, and it felt like there was more than one presence, to be honest with you. It felt like there was an army of something there surrounding me.
Wow.
And it felt beautiful, and it felt magical, and it felt real.
Ooh, yeah, very cool. That's very cool. So that's basically what started you in your understanding of what you were doing with yourself. You were talking to yourself, and you understood the power of the word. So let's take it forward a few notches, and you decided to write this book after you got all these wonderful manifestations, a wonderful husband, a beautiful house, everything that you wanted. So you decided to write this book, Power Talk. Why?
Yes. You know, because it's a strategy, it's a way of getting there, it's a vehicle for getting there. We know that our vibrations it comes from our emotions, and our vibrations is what we align ourselves with this infinite power that's out there. But what I've realized in my learning is that words is a way of getting there. And from the teachings that I've had the opportunity to come across, these wonderful books and different things that I've learned about in terms of the law of attraction and manifestation and things like that, it's all about coming into alignment with this infinite power and being in alignment in terms of your vibrational frequency. And what I've learned is that, well, the way that you talk to yourself, and this is something that I figured out because this is what I had been doing for most of my early part of my life, is that it was easier for me to get my subconscious where I wanted it to be, which is the most power, is more powerful than my conscious mind. It was easier for me to permeate my subconscious mind with positivity and to reverse whatever negative effects had made its way into my subconscious mind by saying things that were positive, whether I believed it or felt it at the moment. Because eventually what happened was, because my subconscious mind is so powerful, it started to believe those positive words, and I started to experience the emotion, the emotional consequence of, well, it's not really a consequence, but I started to feel the emotions of the positive words that I kept scooping into my subconscious mind. So I realized it's more of like a strategy to getting and creating the life that I wanted.
Wow. Great. I get it. I get it. Now, let me ask you, what was it like growing up in your home? I mean, in my family, my mother used to talk really bad about herself. She was kind of like apologetic when she interrupted, or she was kind of always apologetic. And I know that that carried over to me quite a bit of the way that I learned how to talk to myself. What was it like for you?
For me, growing up, in my household, my mom was the breadwinner. So she was always a very strong personality in my household. And she was the one who always ran things. And everyone, you know, I have a big family. I have two older brothers. I have two older sisters. So my home was, and I'm the youngest of all of them.
Yeah.
So everyone flocked to my home on the weekends or on the holidays and things like that. She was always the one who kind of like pulled everyone together, and everyone flocked around her. So for my mom, she actually didn't have much of an education, because unfortunately for her, she had to stop school when she was in the fourth grade because she had to take care of her younger sister while her parents went out and worked. So she didn't have a very easy life. And so growing up, my mom, and being the last child of my family, my mom said that one of the things she really wanted me to be able to have that she didn't have was a sense of confidence within myself. So my mom used to always say, you know, tell me that I was beautiful and all these kinds of different things. But on the other end of the spectrum, my mom had a really difficult time with articulating herself a lot. So, you know, when it came to education and things like that, she wasn't able to, you know, really express to me the importance of being intelligent or being able to articulate myself in a sense. So I grew up, as I got older into my teenage years and things like that, I found it difficult. And I know it's kind of ironic that because I fell in love with the power of words, as I started to grow older, I started to feel like I wasn't able to articulate myself when I was around groups of people, especially in corporate America. When I started to work in those kinds of environments, I was really timid because I felt like even though I had went to school and even though I had went to high school and even though I did well, I don't know why. I've always felt like I wasn't able to articulate myself and to speak intelligently. And I think that's something that I took from my mom, because for her, she didn't go to school. And I know she struggled with that. And I found myself feeling really, really, I have low self-esteem about that, because for some reason, it doesn't make any sense, I felt like I was never educated enough.
Mm.
Isn't that weird?
No, it's not really, because you naturally take a part of your mother's beliefs. That's completely normal. So, yeah, you put your own ID onto her beliefs. So it's really normal. But
right.
So how did you overcome that in corporate America?
It was difficult. It was really difficult for me because I was always a really ambitious kid. I was always a really ambitious person. So while I was in college, I was working towards getting these internships in the reporting world and the news industry and things like that. Because when I was younger, because I was fascinated with words, I would see these women on TV doing the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news. And to me, I thought they were so sophisticated, and I wanted to be just like that. I wanted to talk like them. And that's actually one of the reasons my mom really, really pushed me hard to speak differently than she does, because she has like this accent and it's really thick and people sometimes can't understand her. So she used to push me really hard to talk differently. So I grew up mocking or trying to emulate, rather, these anchor women on television. So when you hear my mom talk and then you hear me talk, you hear anyone else that's close to me, you'll be like, okay, one of these things don't belong. So I'm thinking, thinking, okay, great, fast forward. So now I'm in college, and I got my internship in radio, and I did well there. Then I finally got to a place that I wanted to be, which was experience in the newsroom. And I got to that newsroom, and it was a totally different world than I had ever imagined that it would be. People were very smart. I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't think that people weren't going to be smart, but they were very smart and very aggressive.
Mm.
And they were kind of like being in a lion's den for me. That's how I looked at it, because I came in with this whimsical perspective. I came in thinking, oh, I've worked, you know, to get to this point, and finally I'm here, and now it's all just going to unravel and work out. But it was just another level of the game, so to speak, and a level that I wasn't prepared to play. And I got chewed out pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I did, because that's when I was really self-conscious about the way that I articulated myself. And I had all these people around me who had been in the industry for years and 20-some-odd years, and they were well-seasoned, and they knew what they were doing. And the way that they articulated themselves and the way that they spoke about what they did, to me, it intimidated me. And so that was still the part of myself where I felt like, oh, my gosh, I'm not up to par with these people. I'm not educated enough. I need to go sit in the library and read some books or something. But I had a great education. So this was still part of me pulling beliefs or ideas that my mom felt about herself. I'm pulling it into my world, and it wasn't even my world. So, and because of that, I wasn't able to do the best that I could have, and I started to feel really resentful about the situation that I was, and I realized, okay, maybe this isn't for me, because not only can I not articulate myself the way that is on the same level with these people, but I can't deal with the constant negative news. And I realized that's when it really occurred to me, wait a minute, if this is something that I've always wanted to do, and now that I'm here, it's not what I want, because I can't even stomach the constant negative stories on war and poverty and deaths and all these horrible stories that keep coming into the newsroom. How am I possibly going to survive in this industry? I can't. It's not in alignment with my spirit.
Mm, wow.
So finally, I quit. I resigned, and I started to freelance write, and I started to freelance write, but then I was stuck doing political type of stories, which was also not in alignment with my spirit.
Right.
So then finally, throughout my journey, I realized, you know what? I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of meditating. I lost myself for a while. I felt like I didn't know who I was anymore. And I finally came to a point where I realized, oh, my gosh, this whole time, I have been seeking to find a platform where I can make an impact in other people's lives by being a reporter or an anchor woman. But really, I had always had answers within me. I knew that there was power in words. I knew that I had the ability to impact lives. I knew that my spirit was kind and caring. And if I coupled all of those three things, I can pave a different path for myself, but still stay true to what I knew my destiny would be. And so that's how, you know, Power Talk came up, and that's how I realized, you know what, this is how I'm going to do it. I paved a whole new path for myself.
Wow. That is brilliant. So you basically what I heard you say is that you weren't willing to conform to their standards because you would have lost yourself, and it really didn't feel good. So you decided to go in and do something that did feel good. So I don't know if you realize this, but you really are literally changing the vibration of the past organization and allowing it to expand into a new organization. Because you took that step, and to me that's absolutely brilliant. You really are true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And how many people just get stuck because they didn't have the strength that you had.
Yeah.
I mean, I've really got to applaud you for that. It's absolutely brilliant. And I think just by being on the show, a lot of my listeners are going, oh, wow, I am seeing this in my life. So
yeah.
did you go back to the mirror?
It's so funny that you asked that question because that was going to be the next thing I said to you. I knew something was terribly wrong, Jules, when I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself anymore.
Ooh, ouch. Wow.
I had lost my best friend.
Oh, wow. I got chills up and down my back. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting a little teary-eyed even now saying that to you, but it's that real, and it was that horrible for me to be able to look in the mirror at myself and not feel that connection anymore and not to see my best friend anymore and not to be able to feel that. You know, it was horrible. It was devastating for me. And right. And to be honest with you, I couldn't even tell you when it happened. During the process, I didn't know when it happened. I just know that one day, I hadn't done it in a while. And then when I finally did do it, I was like, oh, my God, where are you?
Mm. And how long did it take for you to find your best friend again?
Well, it took a while for me to get back there. It took a while for me. I would say I was on a journey to get back to that point for the past 3 years.
Uh-huh.
For about 3 years it took me.
Wow.
Because it took me that long because there was a lot of different things that came into play. I grew up, first of all, I was born in Trinidad, a small Caribbean island off the coast of South America.
Wow.
I came to New Jersey when I was 5 years old, and I grew up in New Jersey. Then I moved to Atlanta, Georgia for love. So that's where I am now. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. And during that time, when I told you, I mean, there are so many life events that occurred during the time that I left the newsroom and made my way to Georgia. But I started to find myself again when I started dating my husband. And it was so funny when we were dating. He knew I had been struggling, and he put on his television the video The Secret.
Uh huh.
And I had never heard of it. I had never seen it or anything like that. So I was watching it, and I was like, "Wow, that's kind of interesting." Because I remember before I lost myself, I used to experience this kind of magic. I thought it was just me. And then his business partner, just out of the blue, sends him a link to Esther, Esther Hicks.
Right.
And she was doing a seminar, and she was talking to some people, but it was really Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And it fascinated me, and I could not believe what I was seeing and what I was hearing, but I definitely believed it, and I knew that it was real and it was true. And so I picked up her book. I even went to one of their seminars and everything like that when they came to Atlanta. And that's really where the turning points began for me, and I was able to find myself again because I realized the reason why I felt I lost myself in the first place was because I thought I was the only one who knew about this special magic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that other people, that it was real, and it wasn't just real for me, that it's real for all of us.
Wow. Yeah, it is. And it's amazing how the universe works because I have a feeling that you were supposed to experience all of that turmoil and disappointment in order for you to be able to teach what mm-hmm. you're teaching now. Had it been magical all the way through it, you wouldn't have known that the difference that you can make in people's lives and the difference you made in your life. So, wow, that's huge. That's
yeah.
huge.
You're right about that, Jules. And you know what? I think about that all the time, because during the time of my life when I thought I had everything under control and I was manifesting and being positive and speaking positive, I didn't know it then, but I know it now looking back. I kind of walked around with a certain arrogance because I couldn't understand why anybody else couldn't think the same way.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've been there, too. I've been there. It's like, oh, my goodness, you're right.
So, you know, I was like, oh, my gosh, I see it. Everything happens. You don't understand it when it's happening, but things come full circle, and you are able to connect the dots after the fact. And I realized I needed to lose myself, because there's a lot of people that are still trying to find themselves. And order for me to be able to impact anyone, I need to be able to understand what they're going through.
Absolutely. So all of the contrast that you experienced was really a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
I love that. I love this. Now, you are really involved with NLP. And I think this is really important for all of the listeners to understand. So could you talk to us a little bit about NLP?
Well, I am really interested in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And I myself am still a student of it. I am learning as I go, and I'm learning as more and more about it. As much as I can. But the reason why I became so fascinated with NLP and just the concept of it is because it's a new age way, and it's more having to do with models, specific models that John Grinder, he's the co-founder of NLP. But basically it's a model that you follow, and there's strategies that you use to reverse the psychology and the beliefs of and the negative beliefs that people have. So in a nutshell, and it's more science to it than magic, or not magic, but putting your vibrations into alignment and stuff. It's more of a scientific way, scientific perspective that they use this strategy more so in corporate America and for sales and things like that. But people started using it spiritually, because it can be applied spiritually as well. But basically what it is it's models and specific scientific strategies that you can use to transform limiting beliefs. So if you have, like, for example, I interviewed Edward Dunn recently, and he's a certified master practitioner of NLP, and he was talking about a story where he was in class with this woman who wore impossibly thick glasses, and his teacher during that time, Dr. Robert Diltz, did something with her. He worked with her on her belief system, because she had worn bifocals since she was a child. And so he had someone at the other end of the classroom put up seven fingers or something like that, and asked her, well, how she had to take off her bifocals, and asked her how many fingers were the person holding up, and she couldn't even make out that there was even anyone there. So he worked with her on her belief system, and he tried to figure out what is her process for doubt, and how does she believe things, because everybody's unique. So he was working with her for a while, and then maybe about 15-20 minutes or something like that, then she put her glasses back on. I mean, she took her glasses back off, and the person put up the same amount of fingers, and all of a sudden she was able to not only see the person, she was able to see exactly how many fingers he had up. I mean, yeah, the person had up. And basically what NLP is about, it's about taking beliefs that you may have had your entire life, whatever has been ingrained into your subconscious mind for ages that you pick up from your parents or from your environment, and taking those beliefs and basically getting the brain to realize that it's not real.
Uh-huh.
and getting your brain to reverse its doubt and its belief system and kind of getting it to do like a 180. It's like shaking a mind to kind of reprogram everything you thought you knew. And that's kind of like, in a nutshell, what NLP is about.
So can you do it instantaneously, or does it take a month to rewire the brain into thinking a new way, or?
It can be done in a matter of minutes, just like it did for that woman who wore the bifocals her entire life. It can happen in a matter of 10 minutes or 20 minutes. I think that what really makes a difference is if you are open to it, if you are open and you believe that this can work for you.
Absolutely. I get it. So it's kind of like rewiring the brain.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay. Interesting. And the effects can be immediate and they can be long-lasting.
It can be long-lasting, but again, it depends on how open you are for the change. Sometimes, you know, people can take weeks or they can take years, but really it depends on the person, because this kind of thing, and not just with NLP, it really with anything that you want to change in your life, whether it's starting to talk more positive about things or think more positive, this takes a conscious effort, and it takes work, and it takes wanting to do it, not just wanting to do it and wanting the change, but putting in action. You know, like, for example, you know, keeping a gratitude book, or being conscious that, you know what, in the morning time I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and say to myself, I'm whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, and harmonious, saying affirmations to yourself. You have to really make a conscious effort to want to change. You can't just say, well, you know, I've read all of these books about the law of attraction, and I want to become a better person. I have the information and the knowledge, but then you just sit around and don't do anything about it.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right, exactly. And the law, but you are going to attract what it is you're supposed to attract, but are you going to take action to get it?
Right.
You know, it's not automatic that it's going to change you. You have to take the steps to allow it to change you.
Right, exactly. And, you know, some people, you know, I know just even growing up in my own household and people that I know, you know, I grew up knowing that it's good to pray. It's good to say your prayers in the morning and in the nighttime. And if you have any problems, you put it out to God, and God will take care of it for you. But I've learned, you know, all due respect to anyone who does that, but what I've learned personally from my own personal experience is that it doesn't work that way. You know, you don't just tell God your problems and sit back and think that, you know, miracles do happen, but not in a way that you don't have to do anything about it. It takes conscious effort. It takes the mind power to, first of all, believe that it's going to happen. Then it takes, okay, well, ideas, these ideas that come into your mind that says to you, hey, why don't you go get a notebook and start writing? Why don't you, you know, go outside and take a walk and have a conversation with yourself? Why don't you go in the bathroom and look at yourself and talk to yourself and tell yourself affirmations? These ideas, after you say a prayer or meditate or whatever you do, you start to get, and I don't care who you are, I know I truly believe this happens to everyone, is that all of a sudden you will start to get these ideas. And some people think that, oh, well, I'm talking to myself, but to me, it's kind of like your alignment with that infinite power, with that God, with the universe, that after you pray or meditate, it's sending you signals and information that you need, and these ideas are for you to take action steps so that you can achieve the answers to your prayer. And I think what a lot of people do is they, after they pray and they have a problem, they put it out to God, they don't realize that these ideas that come into their mind is something that they need to act upon.
Right.
They sit back and wait for something to happen without doing anything themselves. It's like a one-way street. They expect this universe and God to do everything for them, but they think that they have to sit back and do nothing themselves.
I know. You know, I'm going to make a bold statement here. If you are praying and you don't come out of that prayer feeling good, you're doing it wrong.
I agree.
And if you're meditating and you don't come out of that meditation feeling good, you're doing it wrong.
I agree. I don't think that's a bold statement to make. I think that it's a true statement to make.
So if you are going in there and praying to God, I need help, but if you're not staying there long enough to get those answers so that you can feel better, then you're not shifting. You're staying in that situation. The whole mm-hmm. thing is with this greater than anything energy is that it's the power to make you feel happy. When you're happy, that's when you're shifting. That's when you're creating. That's when life begins.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Yeah, it's all right. About, and to me, for a little girl to go in that mirror and look and saying all those wonderful things to her best friend, which is her, is mm-hmm. probably one of the most brilliant experiences I've ever heard. That is powerful. And oh my goodness, if mothers could just teach their kids to do that, boy or girl, wow. Would we
yeah.
change the world or what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that you bring up a really awesome point. You bring up a really awesome point is that, you know, instinctively, for some reason, something guided me to do that.
Mm.
But I think that is something that parents really should do, is teach their children to see themselves as their own best friend first, to be able to look in the mirror and really see themselves as this thing that is more than just the human body, that they are a soul and they just happen to have a body, mm. you know, and to be able to look at themselves like that, I think it's a really powerful thing and it's a very comforting thing. And I think that it develops a very, very strong being within that child, because I tell you, if they can keep that mentality when they grow up, oh my gosh, the world is definitely going to be limitless for them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the new paradigm of parenting right now. Now, you are a coach. You are a transformational coach, correct?
Yes. Empowerment coach.
Empowerment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which
same difference.
Same difference. I mean, if you are powering yourself up, you are transforming yourself. So people can find you at rishabaker.com, right?
Uh-huh. That's right.
Let's spell that for them so that they can make sure.
Okay.
It's R-E-I-S-H-A Baker. Mm-hmm. .com.
That's right. Yes, I am an empowerment coach. I have strict criteria. I'm a gentle coach, but I'm also a firm coach at the same time. I always let my clients know that once you make the commitment to go on this journey with me, together we're going to do this together. But you have to really be a self-motivated individual. You can't come to me thinking that you don't have to do anything and that I'm going to give you knowledge and that it's somehow going to work. You have to really put in the work to make the transformation that you're seeking in your life.
Mm.
And what I do is the empowerment coaching, I have a package, and it's a 21-day empowerment package. And basically, the reason why I do the 21 days is because it's proven that you can create or break a habit in 21 days.
Right.
You've heard of that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, clients can come to me and they can schedule it according to however they want, according to their schedule, but I always recommend at least one day per week. You got to look at it like a course curriculum, that you're going to class for 60 minutes one day a week. And you have to take it that serious. And for me, what I do is the foundation of how I of my process is that I'm really working more so with the self-esteem of the individual because habitual negative self-talk or any type of negative speaking comes from a place that stems from the self-esteem, really. So what I try to do is I have a very effective and it's a very rigorous program that we go through. And what I do is when the client comes to me, I talk to them and try to figure out where are you trying to go with this? What is it that you want to achieve? But tell me about your life. Where do you come from? And why do you speak negatively? And once I do an analysis of that, I basically come up with a very personalized, tailored, and customized type of program for the individual because each client cannot possibly do the same program. Mm. So once I do that, we go into working on mastering certain aspects of, like, for example, liking themselves. Do they even like themselves? Conquering self-doubt or helping them to see their core worth. Help them with if they have body issues, body appreciation. Help them with learning to create more affirming thoughts. Help them with rational thought process. Mm-hmm. Helping them to liking the face in the mirror. You know, so it's a lot of different things. And I even help them with learning how to meditate, the basics of meditation. I help them understand the basics of law of attraction and things like that. So it's a really, really great and effective program. And I've had clients that I've coached that have made transformations. I've made transformations. And it's really effective.
You know what I've found, too, is that people don't realize the words they are using. They really don't. It's just like automatic that they're saying these negative things to themselves. And it takes someone like you, Risha, that can point it out to them. Look, this is what you just said to yourself. Do you realize it? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know because this has happened to me. Oh, my gosh. I had no idea I was even saying that. But it's like it takes someone else who fully comprehends what is going on spiritually, emotionally, physically that can point you and actually direct you into what you are doing wrong, and it's so easy once you realize it.
Mm-hmm. It is, and you're so right because a lot of us do this blindly. We think that we are a positive person because maybe we smile a lot,
right.
Or maybe people love us because we have a great personality, and maybe we enjoy the sunny days and the rainy days, and we say, "Oh, well, I'm a positive person," but then with other aspects, maybe we talk to ourselves in a negative way, or a negative self-talk. Like we could be driving along the highway and we talk to ourselves all the time. It's natural. It's normal. It's what our brains do. And what are the things that we say to ourselves? We could be replaying something negative that happened during the day, even replaying a situation that happened earlier in the day that didn't make you feel good is negative self-talk.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 you're right.
So it's not just saying, oh, I hate you, or, oh, my gosh, I can't stand that guy. It's more, negative self-talk is more than saying those things out loud. It also has to do with playing scenarios in your mind as well that are negative, because those are negative self-talk, and it influences our way of thinking. It really does, and it influences what we manifest in our lives. So if we can get to the core of why do we do that in the first place and what kind of thoughts or situations trigger that for us, then we can start being more conscious of it. And when we're more conscious of it, we can start to catch it. When we start to catch it, we can start to change it.
Right, exactly. And this is why I am so much into coaching. I mean, I believe it is so necessary because, again, you know something's not going well in your life, but you can't put your finger on it. And somebody, a coach, mm-hmm. like Risha, can pick it up fast and help mm-hmm. you to understand so that you can change. You can't change what you don't know is wrong, and you need that person to point it out. And I think this is so valuable, and I strongly urge all of my listeners, don't be afraid of getting a coach. You know, it will change your life.
It really would. And sometimes we really do need someone outside of ourselves to point things out, because I've had clients where they're doing everything right. They're ambitious. They're very strong-minded. They're very assertive. And they're doing well in their careers, but they can't understand why other aspects of their lives are limited, or why they can't seem to wake up in the morning and feel happy.
Right.
Even though what they want to achieve, they're able to achieve it. But what happens is you can be an organized person and you could be doing physically everything right, but if you don't realize that you're self-sabotaging yourself because of that one negative thing that you keep replaying incessantly in your mind, if you don't realize that's what it is, you're never going to get anywhere. And sometimes it's really just that one negative thing that you keep replaying in your mind is the only thing that you need to extinguish to unfold this beautiful, magnificent life and for everything else around you to start to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it is important to have somebody outside of yourself help you figure that out.
Right. And you know what the key to success is? Happiness. If you've got a great job, a wonderful career, and you're miserable, you're not successful. If you've got $1 million in the bank or trillions of dollars and you're miserable,
yeah.
you're not successful.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to have that happiness factor in order to be a success. Otherwise, it's not worth it. It's not going to shift you emotionally or vibrationally. You're still going to be miserable. So when you strive for the happiness factor in success, then you'll reach the success.
Right, exactly. And isn't that really all any of us want?
Yep.
We just want to be happy. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Happy and healthy. Yep, I would have to say. And that's, again, why I'm going to urge everyone to go to Risha and sign up with her and just start getting into the feel-good place of being your own best friend. That is so inspirational. We are all out of time, Risha, but I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this conversation with you. Again, I love the fact that Power Talk and you are on the network. I just see it just blossoming, and people are just going to love you.
Thank you so much, Jules. I had a great time during this hour. It was fun, and I am really happy to be on the network as well. Everybody tune into my show every Sunday. Power Talk.
And that's Power Talking right now. So, Risha, thank you again.
Thank you so much, Jules.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com. And have a great week.